Louisiana is growing smaller and smaller thanks to changes in the Mississippi Delta that were designed to increase flood protection and enhance oil and gas production. Bob Marshall has been covering coastal land loss in Louisiana for decades. He's now a writer with The Lens, a nonprofit news site in New Orleans. He recently collaborated with ProPublica to put out a graphically enhanced report called Losing Ground. Complete with dynamic maps and images, Losing Ground shows just how much of Louisiana's wetlands have been eaten up by the Gulf of Mexico. Bob Marshall joins us now. Welcome to Living on Earth.
My pleasure to be here.
So the project is called Losing Ground. How significant is this land loss crisis? How quickly are we losing ground down in Louisiana?
Well, right now they're losing it at about 16 square miles a year. They like to say a football field every 48 minutes. But if you go back 20 or 30 years ago, we were losing as much as 50 square miles a year. So we've lost about 2,000 square miles since the mid-1930s, and there's very little left now in southeast Louisiana.
Now, I gather a lot of this has to do with the way people have controlled the Mississippi River over the years. Describe that process for me.
Well, this whole area of the state, all of South Louisiana, really, from Mississippi to Texas, was built by the Mississippi River. Its delta building process going back about 7,000 years, when the end of the last glacier period. You know, when a river hits this flat plain, it slows down, and all the sediment it's carrying begins to fall out. And it wasn't just the main stem of the river, it was all these distributaries that peel off the river on its deltaic plain. So there was this big, really spider web of distributaries carrying all this fresh water and sediment. And during the spring floods, the river would come over its banks and over the distributaries' banks and spread this really nature's cement, if you want to call it that, out all across this area. And so that process was still going on when Europeans arrived, and when New Orleans was founded in 1718, they were still building land out into the Gulf of Mexico. And everything went along as nature intended it until we began developing along the river, and people began putting up levees so that they wouldn't get flooded by this river every spring.
So what did the levees do to the river exactly? Why did it make it lose land?
Well, the levees block the river from spreading more sediment out on its delta. And so when a river can't get back out to replenish its delta, that delta began subsiding. So there were levees on the Mississippi really going back to the 1850s, but after the Great Flood of 1927, when most of the Mississippi River Valley from Illinois to Louisiana was flooded, Congress said, never let this happen again. And so the Corps built these great levees, and they put the river in a straitjacket, permanently blocking the river from getting back to its delta to replenishing this land. If that's all we had done, the researchers say that the delta would have been subsiding at an infinitesimal rate, millimeters per year, and the wetlands that were intact in the 1930s, when these levees were finished, would still be largely intact today.
But that's not what happened, I gather.
That's not all we did, because at the same time we finished those levees, oil and gas was discovered in this coastal zone, and we proceeded to go after it because there were no protections for wetlands then. Eventually, 50,000 wells were permitted in this coastal zone. Over 10,000 miles of canals were dredged for oil and gas, 500 miles for shipping. And we basically eviscerated this incredible delta. There have been dozens of reports that show where there was the heaviest amount of oil and gas extraction and canal dredging. We had the highest rate of land loss and subsidence. So we're fighting this massive loss of surface land. We're also subsiding, right, because we're not replenishing this land, these wetlands, I should say. And on top of that, here comes global warming and sea level rise. So we're in this precarious situation where we have, according to NOAA, the highest rate of relative sea level rise of any place in the country and one of the highest rates anywhere on the planet. So where most of the country might be looking at 2 feet of sea level rise by the end of the century, they're saying this area is looking at 3.5 to 4 feet, 4.5 feet, because of this combination of sinking and rising seas.
NOAA, of course, is the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. So your project features an online map, Bob, that illustrates the extent of the crisis through time. Why did you choose to make this so visual?
This is really the really new thing about this report on our coast. I've been covering this for years, for decades. But what the brilliant people at ProPublica did with their computer and graphics skills is they went back and took official U.S. Geological Survey topographical maps and then aerial photographs and satellite photographs and blended them together, going back to the 1930s and earlier, and then they could show you what actually happened. As you move a slider across some of these pages, you'll see these pristine wetlands in the 1930s turn in some areas to open water. You'll watch as these canals came in and the place just opened up and fell apart. And, you know, writers hate to hear this. I can tell you I've been working on this for decades, and people who have been reading my stories for decades say, this is the best thing you've ever done. Well, the words are pretty much the same, but the pictures, these graphics, really finally hit home as you watch this part of the state drown.
So what's been the impact of all this land loss on people living along the Gulf?
Well, there are communities now that are faced with having to move, and people are kind of angry and they're stunned, and they want someone to pay to keep their communities where they are, and the cost is just too high. So some communities are facing facts. They're saying we have to move. Others are hoping that the state or the federal government or someone will come to their rescue and build, you know, higher, taller levees to protect them. But this could be the largest forced migration for environmental reasons in the history of the country.
Bob, in your piece, you highlight a couple of places that are particularly impacted by all of this. Tell me about Delacroix, please.
Well, Delacroix Island is a settlement about 30 miles from the French Quarter here in New Orleans that was founded back in the late 1700s, early 1800s. It's unique because it's Spanish. Back in the 1780s, when Spain owned this part of the world, King Philip was eager to have more settlers here, so he looked for volunteers from the Canary Islands. They moved here. They worked originally on plantations closer to the city, and then they moved down the bayous onto the delta. The people lived there for a couple of hundred years, and really until the 1950s, late 50s, they had very little contact with New Orleans. They had a subsistence lifestyle. They were fishermen, trappers. They picked moss to sell to furniture makers, Spanish moss. But the canal dredging that started in the 30s and 40s began to have an impact. They began noticing that the marshes, the wetlands they trapped, were falling apart, that the lagoons and the bayous were getting wider, the lakes were getting bigger. When they went to set their traps for muskrat, nutria, and mink, the traps were deeper in the water. And eventually, the storms that came through basically made it impossible for them to live full time. So the whole ecosystem, this incredible delta that not only isolated them and kept their culture unique, but also provided their living, was being destroyed. That whole culture is gone. You know, there are maybe 10 families living there now. And the amount of land that once was so high and wide that bison and elk roamed it, is now about 50 yards wide on either side of the bayou. And the rest is either wetlands or open water.
So, Bob, how aware are Louisianans living in other parts of the state of these issues, do you think?
I think they're, you know, more aware than the rest of the country. There's been a lot of media coverage here over the last, especially since Katrina. But I think the state really just lived in denial, in large measure because one of the major causes of land loss is the oil and gas industry.
So to what extent has oil and gas, that business, been held accountable for what's happened?
Well, they really haven't. According to many studies, the oil and gas industry is responsible for anywhere between 36 to 60% of the loss. There were permits they had to get beginning in 1972 with the Clean Water Act, and the state has its own permits. But they really were not forced to comply by the permits, which required them to return the areas they were working in pretty much back to their original state. So instead of backfilling these canals when they were finished, that was not done. A lot of the waste pits that are out there were not properly taken care of. In many cases, oil companies, when they well ran dry, just left and left the damage there. There was a landmark lawsuit brought last year by the local flood protection authority seeking damages from 97 oil, gas, and pipeline companies for wetlands loss. They're saying that, you know, without these wetlands, storm surge is higher. It's going to cost us more to keep the city in this area safe. But that provoked the ire of the state's political establishment, including the governor, who promised to get the legislature to pass laws retroactively preventing this board from suing. And they did get one through, and that's now in federal court on a constitutionality test, and we'll find out what happens there. So they really have not been held accountable for the damage done.
Bob Marshall is a reporter with The Lens. Thanks for taking the time with us today.
Thank you for having me.
And you can find a link to his report at our website, loe.org.